Welcome back to another episode of Ask a Clutter Boss, the internet's best weekly decluttering advice show. I am Jess Marcy. I am your clutter boss for today. Today is Tuesday, March 12th. Question number one. I need help. I went on a craft supply shopping spree during the early days of COVID. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Buying multiples of things I liked at Dollar Tree. Now I've spent a lot of money and I am struggling to declutter, especially with the craft items. I've given away some, but there's so much left. Every time I see it, I feel overwhelmed and I regret the money I spent. Any advice or comments are appreciated. Please be honest, but kind. Thank you. Being honest, but kind is especially important in our communities. We are completely judgment-free with everything that we do when it comes to decluttering. We believe that clutter is not your fault. And everyone has spent money on something and then felt regretful about it in the future. Even though I don't think you need to feel regretful, when we spend money on something, it's because, and in this case, it was the early days of COVID. There was a lot of anxiety. Our lives were completely turned upside down. And so you bought craft supplies. There is no reason to feel guilty about that. None whatsoever. We are truly always doing the best that we can in any given moment. And when we reflect back and we feel that guilt or that shame, maybe you can take that emotion and instead remind yourself that you were doing the best that you could at that time. And moving forward, you're going to make different decisions because you have this experience to guide your future decision-making. That's growth. That's growth. So there's no shame. There's no feeling bad about the decisions we've made. We're growing. And that's a sign of life. In terms of the actual question here, I'm struggling to declutter the craft items. I've given some away, but there are so much left. So when you're struggling to let go of craft items, I think it can help to remember if we pass them on to someone else, they're going to get used. So if they're sitting in your house and they're not getting used, what is the point of having them? If you pass them on to someone else to be used and loved and to give somebody else that experience to create, isn't that a gift that we're putting out into the universe? So shifting your thinking around letting go of stuff can be really helpful. Instead of thinking about the impact it's going to have on you or the feelings that you have about your past purchases, can you think about the impact that it's going to have on somebody else? Can you think about how it's going to change somebody else's life? If we're talking about craft supplies, if we're talking about clothing, if we're talking about appliances, small kitchen appliances, sporting equipment, whatever we're talking about, that gift forward can really positively impact somebody else's life. You can make a difference to someone else. So instead of thinking about, oh, I feel ashamed, I spent money, whatever, can you think about how is this going to impact someone else? How can I positively pay it forward? How can I turn this into something that feels good for my soul? And go ahead and let it go. Every time I see it, I feel overwhelmed. If you're struggling with the overwhelm of a large collection and letting it go, I think sometimes the easiest thing to do is to take a picture of everything you have and post it on Marketplace or on FreeCycle or Buy Nothing and just see if you can get somebody to take a large amount of it at once, because it is overwhelming to think about breaking down a collection. And where am I going to bring each little element and each, where am I going to bring the paper and where am I going to bring the embellishments and where am I going to bring the stamps? And, you know, when it comes to like paper crafting, if you know, that's the type of crafting you're doing, see if you can get somebody to just come and take the whole collection. It can feel so much less overwhelming that way. And you get a lot out at once. So it frees up a lot of space. So those are my thoughts. How can this help somebody else? How can I be a positive? How can my quote unquote mistake, which again, I don't actually think is a mistake, but how can my purchasing something I didn't need, how can this turn into a positive for someone else? And can you find somebody to get to take a large bulk of the collection all at once? That's probably your best case scenario. The next question, can I safely store winter coats in the attic during the Texas heat without ruining them? I have some nice bubble jackets and kids' coats. I plan to use protective covers. Thanks for any advice. My advice about storing stuff in attics, especially in Texas, is do not do that. That seems like a not great place to be storing anything that could potentially be damaged by heat and humidity. And I think attics in Texas get really, really hot. I would not risk putting most stuff into those spaces. It's important to remember the function of an attic in our house. We tend to think of all these spaces that we have as storage spaces, attics, basements, garages. Attics exist to create airflow in your house. They're not made for storage at all. They're actually one of the worst places for storage possible in a home. Garages exist to store our cars. That's why we have garages. Again, not to store a lot of other stuff, although, you know, sometimes we do use them for other storage. So we have to make that decision. Do I want to put my most expensive purchase other than a house outside, or do I want to protect it in a garage? And that's a personal decision. There's no judgment there if you choose to use your garage for something else, but just keep in mind, garages are generally not climate controlled. They generally are prone to rodent problems, humidity issues. They're not made for storage. And the same thing with basements. If you have an unfinished basement, it is not made to store items. Basements are prone to flooding. They're prone to changes in humidity. They're prone to rodents. All of these places exist to support our home. Like a basement is for foundation and to help create optimal temperature in our houses. Same thing with attics. They're part of our structure. They're for airflow. They're not for storage. So I would really try to find another storage solution for anything that could potentially be damaged by heat. Texas heat is significant. I can't really think of too many things that wouldn't be damaged by that. So can you find a spot to put it in a closet? Can you declutter something else? The thing about our space and our stuff, we have a finite amount of storage space in our homes. And the goal with decluttering is to declutter until we're living within our storage space. If you need to keep the winter jackets, then is there something else that you can let go of? I know we think we need to have everything. We need to have all resources on hand at all times possible. But the reality is the more that we have, the harder it is to find what we need when we need it. The harder it is in an emergency situation, like a natural disaster. Live within your space. That's your parameter. And when you think about living within your space, there's a mindset shift with this that can really help too. This is not a limiting factor in our lives. This is freedom. When we live within our storage space, our lives are so much easier. It's easier to find stuff. It's easier to put stuff away. It's easier to take care of things. Our lives are easier. It is not a lack of space. It's not a negative. It is a positive. It is a freedom of time and energy and mental space. So live within your space. That is the goal. Be ruthless in getting to this goal because your life overall is going to be so much easier when you're living within your space. And when you're not using your storage in your garage, your basement, or your attic, and you have the inevitable happen, a pipe will burst. There will be some rodents in there. Something like that will happen. You won't have to deal with the stuff that's in that space. You'll actually just be able to bring in a professional, get to the area, deal with the emergency. This is life. Every house has systems that break down eventually, or has animals that get into it eventually, or, you know, whatever the situation is. When that happens, it's going to be so easy to deal with it because you're not going to be dealing with the loss of stuff or having to move a lot of stuff in an awkward space. You're just going to be able to deal with the situation. So living within your space is not a negative. It is a huge, huge, huge net positive to your life. So, let's see the next question here. Do you find it challenging to part with expensive clothing, especially those with sentimental value, like high-end skateboarding and surfer brands? I can easily donate cheaper items, but these hold memories. Okay, so this is interesting because in this question, there's two issues. There's the issue of having expensive clothing, but then there's the issue of having sentimental clothing. So I think the question really is it that you're struggling to let go of the item because it's quote unquote expensive clothing, or is it because it's attached to a memory? If you're struggling to let go of something because it's expensive clothing, I think that's much easier to overcome than letting go of the sentimental items. If it's truly worth something, which remember, most things are not worth what we think they're worth, not even close. But if you can kind of test this out, if you want to, you can try listing your expensive clothing on some clothing reselling site. Anastasia, what's that site that you use all the time? Depop? Well, my kids resell their clothing on Depop because they pay for their clothing. Well, they pay for a lot of their clothing. And they find it's worth their time and energy to list and sell their clothing on Depop. They have pretty good success with it. You can also sell your clothing on Poshmark. And there's a bunch of different resale sites. So pop it up there. See how much money you're going to get. See how much it's actually worth. Something is worth what somebody will pay for it, not whatever we think the value actually is. I've fallen into that trap before of like searching for things, used things to see their value on eBay and seeing that something sold for like $400 and then I list it and it sells for like $40. Something is worth what somebody will buy for it when you're ready to sell it. That is its value. So test it out. See if it truly is valuable. If it's not, see if you can pass it, you know, see if you can feel good about passing it along. Same thing with question number one. Can you enrich somebody else's life with the gift of really nice brand name clothing? Can you give that gift to somebody else? Can you pay it forward that way? Does that feel good? Now, if it is sentimental, that is a different story. So when we're talking about sentimental clothing, that's really, it's memorabilia. We tackle memorabilia last because it's highly emotional. There's a lot of things that you can do with memorabilia to kind of break that really close attachment you have to the actual item. Can you take a picture of it? Do you have a picture, if it's your clothing, of you wearing that piece of item, that clothing of item at a certain time that was special for you? Do you have a picture of your children wearing that clothing? If it was a special occasion, or is the memory to the clothing or to the occasion, or is the memory to the time period in your life? So I think that you said it was skateboarding and surfer brands. Do you have other memories of you skateboarding or surfing, or your children skateboarding or surfing, that really represent that time period? And you don't need the actual physical clothing to represent that time period. Can you journal about what this time period meant in your life? Why the transition is hard? A lot of these things can help kind of bridge that gap between the stranglehold we have on the item and the memory. And you know, nobody can ever throw out a memory for you. You can't throw out memories. When you let go of an item, you're not letting go of the memory, you're letting go of the item. But there's ways that you can kind of bridge that, right? Write, journal about it, share the story with somebody, look for pictures or other things that represent that time period in your life. And if you're not ready to let go of that stuff, that's okay too. But let's not go storing it in your attic, because if you are really sentimental about something, honor it with good storage in your home. Right? Make sure that you're not putting it in a spot where it could get damaged. Because if you feel sentimental about something and then you go to look at it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and it's damaged, that feels really bad. So honor the things that you choose to keep with good storage. Last question here. I am 80 and I want to declutter, especially my clothing. The challenge is deciding what to let go, particularly items in smaller sizes that I haven't worn. I still feel young at heart and the clothes are fashionable. I think we had a very similar question to this recently. Any advice on where to start? So I think I love the fact that you're trying to declutter right now as an 80-year-old. That is awesome. Feeling young at heart. So there's an emotional attachment to this clothing, right? It's an identity thing. When you feel young at heart and you see clothing that is fashionable, but that you're not wearing, it reminds you that you are still young at heart, or maybe it reinforces the fact that you still feel young at heart. And so you want to keep it because it's a part of your identity. Are there other parts of your identity or other things in your life that can reinforce this identity of being young at heart? Are there activities that you engage in every day that make you feel young at heart? Are there relationships that you have in your life that make you feel young at heart? Can you really embrace those parts of the identity of young at heart while letting go of the clothing? Because I mean, the question was about clothing. You want to let go of the clothing, but it's a struggle. So can you find a way to really embrace the identity without keeping the clothing? If you're not wearing the clothing and it doesn't fit you, why hang on to it? Like, why burden yourself with the clothing that's making you feel not positively every day, right? If you're seeing it and you want to let go of it, but you're choosing to hang on to it, there's mixed emotions there, right? It's a gray area. You don't need any gray areas in your life. You need to surround yourself with things and people that you truly love, and that truly bring you joy. All of the rest, the excess, is complicated. And when you're 80, you don't need, or any other age really, you don't need any complicated things in your life. Simplifying makes the most sense, always, always, regardless of your age. So are there things in your life that represent this young at heart identity that allow you to look at them, feel validated by them, and let go of the clothing that's no longer serving you at all? All right, that is the end of this segment of Ask a Clutter Boss, the internet's best and only weekly decluttering advice show. And again, if you're rewatching this and you're on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button. It helps our channel grow. It helps keep this content available and free weekly. And it's deeply appreciated by this small business. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to answering your questions again next week. Same time, same place.